All right, let's go to Mark chapter 4. And we have already prayed, Tommy already prayed, so that's enough that the anointing of God's Spirit would be upon the teaching this morning. You know, he's the one who does the teaching. What can I do? Jesus did say that without me, you can do how much? Thank you. Without me, you can do nothing. You know, I was thinking earlier, I just had a little aside thought here, that as I look out at you this morning, I was counting one day, and I think there are about 14 people. Now, that fills more than that row over there. 14 people who aren't here anymore with us. They're with the Lord. Now, 14 is quite a chunk, isn't it? And I may have missed one or two, but I think I counted most of them. But remember Ken and Ann very dearly, and, well, I better not start listing lest I forget somebody, because I want to honor them all. So that was a good thing. So let's go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 1. Mark 4 and verse 1. Now it says, "And he began to teach again by the sea, and such a very great multitude gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land." Don't miss words when you study God's word. What are you doing? You're a wordsmith. You're looking for clues, like Watson, you know. Where are you going to find the clues? And you look for clues by the words. And in various places it says he talked to crowds, he talked to multitudes, but what does it say here? Very great multitude. Significant. They were following him all over the place, and it says that the Pharisees hated him because of their envy of him. He was getting the crowd. He was getting the ears of the people. And so that's why they were so envious of him. But he got a very great multitude gathered to him that he got into a boat. You know, getting into that boat was very, very smart. The Lord understood creation, of course, and he knew that if he got into the boat on the water, that was a great acoustical advantage to him. You know, as he preached, that setting of him in the boat on the water provided a tremendous acoustical perspective for him to be able to say what he was going to say. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. So this emphasizes something for us. It emphasizes that the Lord Jesus didn't come to perform miracles. Now you say, well, he did it all the time. Yes, he did. He didn't come to do signs. He did some of those. He did many wonders, didn't he? And people think, well, that's why he came. No, he didn't come for that reason. He did those, why? As proofs that he was the Messiah. The signs, the wonders, the miracles he did to prove that he was the anointed one of God, that he was God come in human flesh. That's why he did the miracles. But Jesus himself says, I came to do what? To teach. I came to teach. And that's what we do on Sunday morning. And I hope that you'll be very attentive as the Word of God is being given to you, as Tommy gives you the Word of God every Sunday and other guest speakers give you the Word of God, that you'll be very attentive. You know, my mind wanders a lot when I'm sitting where you are, and so I won't blame you if your mind wanders off somewhere because you've got a problem you're working on. But let's try it and really concentrate on God's Word this morning. Now, verse 2, he says, and he was teaching them many things in parables and was saying to them, notice, in his what? In his teaching. Parables. What's the purpose of the parables? Well, we say, oh, he told these parables so that people could understand what he's talking about. No, he didn't. It says in the scriptures, quoting Isaiah, that he came to teach the parables so that those who would refuse to believe would not hear and would not see. But to those who would hear and believe and obey, it was revealed. Understand, that's why he told parables, to conceal the truth to some who refused to believe and to reveal the truth to those who would believe. And then in verse 3 it says, and listen to this. My Bible has an exclamation mark behind the word this. Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. Now, here's the setting. Here's the setting, the stage for his teaching. A sower. A sower went out to sow. And we're going to read verses 3 to 12 very quickly because I want to get on to his explanation of what he was teaching here. It says in verse 4, and it came about that he was sowing as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. And other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and he yielded no crop. And other seeds fell into the good soil, and they grew up and increased. They yielded a crop, and they produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The Lord Jesus is saying, you better be careful. You can't just close your ears to this. You can't just be casual about it. You better, if you have ears, you better hear. And as soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. Do you see what I said about why he told parables? They were revealed to those who would really, truly hear and believe. To you it has been given, as the mystery of God has been given, but those who are outside, that is all the rest of the crowd, get everything in parables. Now, he explains what I said before. And in order that while seeing, they may see and not perceive. And while hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they return and be forgiven. Isn't that interesting? So to those who refuse to see, they will not perceive. And to those who will not believe him, what is going to happen? They're going to hear, but they're not going to make sense of it. So there's the first 12 verses. And now we're going to go into the next explanation in verse 13. This is what he says. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? Let me just return for a moment about a thought about verse 12. This is Jesus saying, let me tell you a secret. Because that's what the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are. They are secrets. And God has special secrets for those who will believe and to those who will obey. And you know, I don't know most of you this morning. I have no idea where you are spiritually. But I'm convinced that there are all the four soils represented here this morning. And we'll find out why I say that, okay? There are likely four soils that are here this morning. And so he says, if you don't understand this one, verse 13, there's something else. There's something basic about this parable that opens the door to understanding the rest of the parables. The kingdom parables are good seed. That's what these parables are. You can see Jesus, the sower, because that's who we're talking about, right? And he takes seed out of his bag, the seed of the message of the kingdom, and he's spreading it all over the place. Remember, Peter says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance through faith in him. So he's scattering the seed broadly because he wants people to believe. He didn't shut their ears and shut their eyes because he didn't want them to believe. It was their choice that they wouldn't see and that they wouldn't believe, right? So you won't get the meaning, Jesus says, of the other kingdom parables unless you have an open ear and a seeing eye. And so we go on to verse 14, where Jesus says, the sower, which is obviously him, sows the word. That's what he came to do. He came to preach. He came to teach. He came to sow the word. And you know the Lord Jesus is doing that this morning. As we're reading his words, he is doing the sowing. He's sowing on your ears. He's sowing into your heart. The question is, how are you going to respond to him this morning? Now here comes the explanation of the sower and the seed. Verse 15, and these are the ones who beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. And so they hear, these people here, the beside the path people on the road, they hear, but they don't, there's really no perception as to what they're hearing. But what they hear is gone in a second. They're beside the road. See, the devil goes into action right away, Jesus says. He comes immediately and he steals the word that has been sown in their hearts. The word was sown here, much as it was sown in good soil. Notice that? The seed wasn't only sown in good soil, it was sown in rocky soil, it was sown in thorny soil, it was sown in pathway soil. So it was liberally broadcast, wasn't it? But the devil is represented by birds in flight. Remember what it says? Where the word is sown, and when they hear immediately, Satan comes away, and the word which has been sown in them. And we read back here that he's talking about the birds that came and ate it up. So he swoops in and grabs the truth away from these people. They don't even realize that the truth is gone. They're so surface. Surface people. And then he goes on in verse 16 and he says, and in a similar way, these are the ones on whom the word seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with joy. In verse 17, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. Here's the rocky place people. The rocky places, immediate emotional response. You notice, immediately? Oh, yeah, yeah. There's an immediate response, but it's emotional response. There's got to be more than an emotional response to Jesus. Many people have responded emotionally to Jesus, but it hasn't gone any farther than that. You see, that's why I really have a little bit of a problem with talking about, please, you know, you don't know Jesus. Will you please accept him? You know that word is not found in the New Testament, to accept Jesus. The word is receive, and that's a big difference. If you receive Jesus, as many as believe on him, they received eternal life. To receive him is the path to eternal life. See, it's not a gospel invitation by just saying to people, I want you to accept Jesus. Or the other one bothers me too. Give Jesus a chance. You know, he's standing here in his robe and he's begging. And he's, would you please? No. That is not a picture of Jesus at all. To say to somebody, would you? You've tried everything else. No, would you give Jesus a chance? And of course, there are those who get their fire insurance now. You want to go to hell? No, I don't. Okay, I'll believe in Jesus. It's a little bit of fire insurance, right? But it doesn't go any deeper than that. And then in verse 17, he says the message doesn't go down to the conscience. That's where it really hits people. That's where there's hope of a change. That's where there's hope of real, true faith and trust that the one who died on the cross and rose from the dead is their salvation, when it really hits the conscience. You know what awakens the conscience? We need to preach the law of God to people. We do. We really do. We're very, very loath to preach the law of God to people, but we need to. You know why? Because God says that as long as you don't believe in me, you are still abiding under the wrath of God. And that's out of that wonderful John 3, where we have John 3:16. You know that one? But in John 3:36, at the end of the chapter, Jesus says, if you don't believe in me, you are still under the wrath of God. That's another way of saying you're going to hell. Friends, let's not be coy about this. There are only two places. And we like to tell people about heaven, don't we? But we kind of shy away from the hell concept. But it's real. People are going there not because God wants them to go there. Not because God condemned them to go to hell, but they choose to. You think that everybody wants to go to heaven today? No, they don't. You know why I know? I know why I know that for sure. The gospel message is going out all over the world. And what's happening? How many are really receiving the message? They don't want to go to heaven. The gospel says you can go to heaven, and this is the way you can go to heaven. through faith in Jesus who died and who rose again. But people are saying, no, no thank you, you know, no thanks, don't want it. And so there's no firm root. It skips the need to repent. It skips the need to humble yourself. You see, there's a price to pay to follow Jesus. You notice what it says. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. Immediately they fall away. Don't tell people, please, don't tell people that if you come to Jesus, he'll solve all of your problems. He'll take care of every one of your needs. He'll be your best friend. You'll have a lovely life. Isn't true. Is that true for you if you really know the Lord today? Has that been your experience? You've had an easy go of it? No, you haven't. Jesus said, in this world you will have what? Tribulations, troubles. But here are these people who, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, if you really follow Jesus, there are going to be times when people will resist you because of your testimony, the word. They will reject you because of the word. They will despise you at times because of the word. And that's what happened to these people here. There's a price to pay to follow Jesus. Isn't that what he said? If any man would follow me, let him take up his what? Cross. The cross is an instrument of death. In our case, it's the death to self. We need to keep on practicing saying no to ourselves. Because as Paul teaches us, if you live according to your flesh, if you live according to your desires and will and all your wishes of the flesh, you're going to experience some form of death, even as a believer, by the way. If as a believer, in a moment, you choose to respond in some way to the desires of the world, the flesh, or the devil, you're going to find yourself having some form of death in your life, some disappointment, some discouragement, a brick wall, you're going to hit the wall. You know why? Because God is saying, no, 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 you're my child. You're not going any farther that way. I'm going to discipline you until you listen to me. And that's the price of being a child of God. But you know, I say to you this morning, would you rather be under the discipline of a heavenly Father who is perfect, who never makes a mistake, or would you be under the discipline of the devil? There's only two choices. You're either under the discipline of God or you're under the disciplines of the devil. 1 John chapter 4, I forget which chapter, it says that the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. I could just envision that. Here's the devil sitting on a chair and he's got a globe in his hands and he's turning it every which way he wants. The whole world is lying in the lap of the evil one. He is for the moment the god of this age, Paul teaches us, right? And Jesus, of course, teaches us that too. But here we are. There's a price to pay to follow Jesus. But my friend, it's the price you pay to get to life. If you will not pay the price to follow Jesus, there's only one other way, only one other place that you're going, and that is to hell. It's the truth. You know, telling you the truth this morning is the most loving thing I can do for you. There isn't anything that I can do for you that is more loving than to tell you the truth. And then in verse 18, he goes on to say, and others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns, and these are the ones who have heard the word, and the worries, verse 19, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. See, these people have thorns in their ears. They're filtering the truth, the seed. They're filtering it through thorny ears. They hear, but you notice in verse 19 what happens after they've heard. Verse 19, and the worries of the world, that is of the age. The word world means age. We're living in an age right now. You hear the worries of the age today? Oh boy, do we ever. if we're really listening, we're hearing the worries of the age and other things he says. Deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word. The worries of the age, the cares, the distractions. We're drawn in different directions, this way, that way, this way, that way. The winds of doctrine come along, blow through, and a new teaching, oh, that promises life, but it's just a phony message, that's all it is. It can't lead you to life if it's not leading you to Jesus. So the whole world is set up on the importance of riches, isn't it? Isn't that what we're talking about? Jesus says that the deceitfulness of riches, you know, even as believers, we get caught up in this. I have. I imagine you have too. You know, the only thing that matters is my house. Gotta have a house. Well, I'm for everybody having a house, that's for sure. Gotta have a car. Gotta build up my bank account. Gotta really be careful about my retirement. If our hope and our dependence are upon those things, we have succumbed to the deceitfulness of riches. Those things are deceiving because that's not what life is all about. Remember Jesus saying that a man's life does not consist, it's not made up of the things that he possesses? Boy, Jesus talked a different language, didn't he? So the focus on earthly life, the here and the now, is all that really matters. You know, the cares, the riches, the pleasures. You know, Luke's version is a little more. Look at Luke 8:14, if you would, please. Look at Luke. Take a look, okay? Take a look at Luke 8:14. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. You see, what do real Christians, real born-again Christians do with their worries? You know, we do something different with our worries, at least we should. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, you'll find out what real Christians do with their worries. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Well, let's read verse 6 because it really goes with it. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Now, here's verse 7. This is what true Christians do with their worries, casting all your worries, your anxiety. You ever get anxious? Every one of us does. You ever get worried? Every one of us does. I always say that the reason the Lord has to write to us about these things, that the Holy Spirit has had these things penned for us, because that's what we have problems with. We have problems with worries. We have problems with anxieties. And we got all tied up inside because of these things, right? But he says, casting all your anxiety upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. You know, you have a heavenly Father who cares for you. And then we're going to conclude with the good seed this morning. That's a good word. The good soil. See, because Jesus is soil testing here, isn't he? He's testing soil. He throws seed on those beside the path. You know, the path normally ran through the field where they were sowing, okay? So there's those on the path and those on the rocky and those in the thorns. These are all people he's talking about. And I don't know where you are this morning, whether you are a path person, a rocky person, or a thorn person. I pray that you will be a good soil person, that you'll hear the message of the Lord. But these are the ones who put two and two together. They hear. They hear. They hear. But they do more than that. They accept. That's an action word. Notice it says, and those are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it. Now there's the word accept. Accepting the word, okay? You respond. There's a decision here to follow Jesus. It's very different than just hearing it. It's an action word. Faith is an action word. Faith in God means that you've taken a step. You've done something beyond hearing. You are now believing with all your heart what you're hearing from God's word. But do you know spiritual growth comes gradually? Notice what he says. And bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. I think that refers to the fact that spiritual growth is gradual. That's what the 30, 60, and the 100 is all about. You know, we all start out as babies in Christ, don't we? And we're drinking milk because that's what babies need. There's nothing wrong with being a baby Christian drinking baby milk. You got to start somewhere. But it's on toward 30, and then it's on toward 60, and then it's on toward 100. You know what the 100 is? It's maturity. You have some idea as to how to handle life. As the testimony of the word is, you know something about righteousness. Read it in Hebrews 5 at the end of the chapter. To those who are schooled in righteousness, in right living. See, it's not just a question of believing on Jesus. It's a question of, are you obeying Jesus? If you are just believing on Jesus but not obeying him, you're not really truly a born-again Christian. You hear, that's where it starts, but then you believe, and if you really truly believe, it will mean that you will obey what you're hearing. In this case, you'll obey the Lord Jesus, because he is, after all, not only the greatest teacher that ever lived, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is King of the earth. This whole earth belongs to him. That's who we worship this morning, the one who is everything, who is all and in all. And so we go through the baby stage to being an adult, mature Christian, the 30, 60, and the 100. And it's okay to need the elementary doctrine about Christ for a while. A lot of people are just know something about how to be born again. I remember as a kid, used to hear people get up at my church, and maybe they had, I have no idea whether they really knew the Lord, but they got up and gave a testimony. I came to know the Lord 40 years ago. Yeah, but what's happened since? If something's happened since, it's a good sign it was good soil. Something really happened in your life. But if you're just getting up and saying, you know, I was 40 years ago, I heard this, and I was baptized, and that's it. That's suspect. That may not be for real. But you will not grow to maturity just by listening to sermons. Did you know that? You won't grow to maturity but just by listening to sermons. I know it's difficult for us to use the word study, but folks, we must study God's word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that doesn't have to be ashamed. You've done your homework. And when it talks about study, why not just open the Bible and just take maybe a few verses. Don't take the whole book, particularly Leviticus. Okay? But take a portion, take a short portion, but don't just read it once and then go your way. Say, let's see, I have to be looking for clues here. What does that mean? You know, if you did that, you'd get a lot more out of the Bible. You really would. I'd encourage you to do that. You can do it. Remember Peter Sellers? Inspector, you can do it. Yeah. So you question yourself this morning, am I being lazy? Am I? If I'm not studying, I'm being lazy. I don't read God's word daily. When I read, I don't stop to ask the Holy Spirit questions. You see, he's the one who's behind this whole thing here. You got to ask the Holy Spirit questions about the things that I'm not understanding. Holy Spirit, I don't understand this. I have to do this all the time. Because I don't understand, and so I have to ask him to help me. And he has various ways to do that, of course, sometimes through some other fellow pastor whose writings I appreciate, and I look it up and say, oh, I guess that's what it means. That explains it. And some of us are hooked on devotionals. I want to say something this morning that may not please everybody, and I don't care, really. Not in the sense that I'm careless. But I don't care if you don't appreciate it, but Sarah's young Jesus calling is not for Christians. Mm-mm. You see, Sarah Young is sitting there, and wherever she's sitting, and she's writing down what Jesus is saying, right? That's the implication. That means that Sarah Young's writings are as inspired as this book that we study this morning. And it ain't so. You can do much better. Lay it aside if that's what you're hooked on, and you get your head into the Word of God and start asking the Holy Spirit to help you. You know, so I may have accepted the lie that I can't understand the Bible, you know. Let me encourage you with John 14:26 as we draw this to a close this morning. John 14:26. This is why I know you can do it. But the Helper, that's another name for the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. The Holy Spirit is here. He's here this morning, and I don't know what he's doing to open your mind, to open your understanding. And I hope you're not a path person. I hope you're not a rocky person. I hope that you really are good soil. So the Lord wants us to know, doesn't he? The question is, are you a hearer or a doer? You're either a road person, that means you have no interest in spiritual things. Some people don't have interest in spiritual things, but they come to church anyway. You know why? They like the entertainment. And some of our big churches, there's lots of entertainment. There's smoke, there's lights, there's flashes. A lot of it is so phony, I'm afraid to say. But people go there because they're entertained. But they're curious. But they have no intention to really follow Jesus. So, you're either a curious person, no intention of obeying his word. You're either a road person, no interest in spiritual things. You're either a rock person, you're resisting the truth about what you need to do to be born again. Might be your case here this morning. I don't know. God is reading the hearts of every one of us. God is not fooled. He knows exactly where you're sitting in that seat, and he knows exactly where your heart is this morning. Nobody else knows. Absolutely nobody else knows. But God knows. And you may be a thorn person. You're really into this world. You know, this world is what you're after. It's the here and the now. And so you just kind of add the message of the gospel to what you're already doing. No, what you're already doing has to be set aside and brought. What is brought to the center is the message of the gospel. The gospel is what? That Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, and through faith in what Jesus did for you, that's the gospel that will save you, and only the gospel. Or you're a hearer and a doer, and if you're a hearer and a doer, you are genuinely born again Christian. I can tell you that for sure. If you're a hearer and a doer, you're a genuinely born again Christian. You actually believe his word is to be obeyed, not debated. You don't read God's word to debate him. He's a strong debater. You'll never win that argument. You are not the measure of what truth is, are you? You're not the measure of what is true. He is. Because he said in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to know how to walk, I'm the way. If you want to know what's true, you come to me. He's the truth about everything. Everything from Genesis, because everything that is in the book is really the word of Jesus. Look at it that way. Genesis to Revelation, it's not only the Gospels. Everything from Genesis to Revelation is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. He created all things, didn't he? And if you're a hearer and a doer, you are generally born again. You actually believe his word is to be obeyed. So I'm concerned about people in evangelical churches who are religious but not born again. I said in evangelical churches. It's real. It's happening today. It's a habit for you to come to church. Where are you this morning? What kind of a person are you? Of the four soils that Jesus inspects this morning, he's the soil tester. And he sees whether you're either path, rock, thorn, or a doer of the word, or good soil. See, the soil responds to the seed. And if the soil is good, the seed can't do anything. But if the soil is good, the seed will grow and produce good things. God help you this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We bless you and praise you and thank you so much for what you're teaching us here this morning, speaking to us. We know this isn't the word that you spoke 2,000 or so years ago. It's the word you're speaking to us right now because it is called the true and the living word of God. And so we pray that you'll help us to understand, dear Holy Spirit, as you're inspecting our hearts, where we are, because we want everybody to come to a knowledge, true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow no matter what the path, no matter how difficult the road. And we'll thank you and praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.